Podcasts from the Cochrane Library, the latest evidence for healthcare decision-making.
Hello, I'm John Hilton, editor at the Cochrane Editorial Unit. Alongside the thousands of Cochrane reviews of the effects of treatments are some that examine interventions to help with medical procedures. Among these is an April 2015 review of pre-operative ripening of the cervix before an operative hysteroscopy. Haya Al-Fazan from the King Saud bin Abdulaziz University for Health Sciences in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, describes the importance of this review and its findings in this evidence pod.
Hysteroscopy is a procedure which allows a clinician to examine a woman's uterine cavity using a special camera. Operative hysteroscopy is usually done for intrauterine pathology, such as uterine polyps, fibroids, adhesions, and septum. Endometrial ablation or resection can also be performed using a hysteroscopic approach. However, hysteroscopy can lead to complications, almost half of which are related to the difficulties in passing the equipment through the cervix. These complications can include cervical tears, creation of a false passage, perforation, and bleeding. One way to reduce them could be through adequate preparation of the cervix or cervical ripening before the hysteroscopy. Among the agents that are used for this are oral, sublingual, or vaginal prostaglandin, which can be synthetic such as misoprostol or natural such as dinoprostone, and vaginal osmotic dilators like laminaria, which is naturally occurring, or synthetic osmotic dilators. We did our review to study the effects of these drugs and to answer the questions: are cervical ripening agents effective for dilating the cervix before operative hysteroscopy, and do they reduce the risk of complications during surgery? We had two primary outcomes: the effectiveness of cervical dilatation, which we assessed by the need for mechanical cervical dilatation, and intraoperative complications. We also sought information on the other outcomes, such as the time it took to dilate the cervix to 9 mm, preoperative pain, whether the procedure had to be stopped because of failure to dilate the cervix, and side effects of the cervical dilating agents. We looked for randomized trials, and we were able to include 19 in the review. 15 of these compared the use of misoprostol with placebo or no treatment, 1 compared misoprostol versus dinoprostone, and 3 compared misoprostol against osmotic dilators. The misoprostol trials recruited a total of 1,870 women and provide moderate quality evidence that misoprostol is more effective than placebo or no treatment for preoperative ripening of the cervix before operative hysteroscopy. Where we were able to do meta-analysis, we found that misoprostol reduced the need for mechanical dilatation between 14% and 37%, and intraoperative complications between 1% and 4%. However, the drug is associated with more side effects, including preoperative pain and vaginal bleeding, which affected around 10% of women in the misoprostol groups of the trials that reported on this. The one trial with 310 participants of misoprostol versus dinoprostone provides low-quality evidence to suggest that misoprostol has fewer intraoperative complications and is more effective than dinoprostone, but with more side effects. While the research comparing misoprostol with laminaria also provides low-quality evidence, which in this case suggests that the osmotic dilator may be more effective, but the effect on the complication rates are uncertain, and laminaria is more inconvenient because it needs to be inserted and returned for 1 to 2 days. In summary, we conclude that misoprostol is an effective method for ripening the cervix before operative hysteroscopy, but with increased side effects. The evidence supports using it in both menopausal and premenopausal women. Clinicians should inform women of the common side effects, including mild abdominal pain and vaginal bleeding, and provide them with appropriate preoperative analgesia. Uncertainties remain about the best way to use misoprostol, and further research is needed on the optimal dose, interval, and route of administration, as well as to provide more reliable estimates of the effects on the patient satisfaction and adverse effects. This randomized trial will need to be large if they are to have the power to detect clinically important and patient-oriented outcomes.
If you would like to read the current version of the review or to watch for updates should further research become available, it's easy to find it at cochranelibrary.com. Do a simple search for ripening and hysteroscopy and you'll see the review listed.